Hello, my name is Peshi Neuberger. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Dalet, 114. Last time we focused on Perek Kuf Yud Gimel, 113, which is the introductory chapter of Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, and we looked at it through the lens of Malbim. Malbim views the entire Perek as a charge to Bnei Israel to not simply praise the big, infinite, powerful God who is far from knowable and definitely not reachable, but to infuse it, our Hallel, with bracha as well, with the recognition that that same God is intimately involved in our lives. The Perek, you may remember, closed with two examples of Hashem's active concern for the lives of individuals. He raises the beggar from the dust and transforms the childless woman into a joyful mother. Now, having affirmed our belief in his hands-on connection with each of us personally, we can raise the ante and move on to announce and celebrate the ways in which Hashem intervened in nature for an entire nation, for us as a nation. Just to add dimension to the development of Hallel, I'll digress for 1 second to point out that Rashi, in explaining the last pasuk, the last verse of the preceding perek, Moshivi akeret habayit im habanim smecha, he seats down a barren woman in her home and she becomes the happy mother of children. Rashi understands the childless woman in that verse to be a metaphor for the land of Israel, which becomes the happy mother of children when her children return to her borders. Seen in this light, this is a very natural segue into Perek Kuf Yud Dalet, which is the song of Yitziat Mitzrayim of the Exodus, and the start of our national redemption, which includes entry into the land of Israel. This Perek has been acclaimed by scholars and commentators across the spectrum as one of the most exquisite songs in Sefer Tehillim, in both its content and its form. Let's take a look first at the form, which is rich in poetic motifs. It's got symmetry, literary allusion, double entendre. We'll start with the symmetry. Every verse in this perek, every single one, contains two parallel phrases and one word or tiny phrase which sort of distributes itself or hovers over both of the parallel phrases. So for example, in Pasuk Aleph, in the first verse, Bitzei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Bitzeit, when they, it, went out, hovers over both portions of the verse. So we read it something like this. Bitzei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when Israel went out of Mitzrayim, Bitzeit Beit Yaakov me'am lo'ez. It's understood that the Bitzeit hovers over the second part as well. When the house of Jacob left a nation that spoke a foreign language. Let's do another pasuk. Haita Yehuda lekacho. Haita is the hovering word. It was. It became. Yehuda became lekacho. It turned into, it became into his sanctified one, God's sanctified one. Haita again hovers. Yisrael mamshalotav. Israel became his dominion or his kingdom. And you can do that for every pasuk. What's interesting is that the Mizmor has a very clear transition from describing what happened in the past at Yitziat Mitzrayim to a dialogue between David HaMelech and all of creation, which is bouncing with energy and nerves and excitement and doing all sorts of unnatural things. And you'll notice that the hovering phrase which starts that is Malacha. What's up with you? Malacha hayam kitanus. What's up with you, the sea that you flee? Hayardein tisov liachar. What's up with you, the Jordan River that you move backwards? The next pasuk has its own distributive word, tirkedu. Haharim tirkedu cha'elim. The mountains, you dance like rams. Gva'ot, hilltops, kifnei tzon. You dance, that's the distributive word, like young sheep. But you don't really get the full meaning of this without distributing the hovering word, the hovering phrase from the pasuk before, malacha, to this pasuk as well. So this pasuk ends up if you want to think of it in figure skating terms, having a kind of very impressive double axel. Malacha, what's up with you, mountains, that you dance like rams? What's up with you, hilltops, that you dance like young sheep? And you end up having a very beautiful poetic twist. Notice also, in terms of the symmetry, how the chapter closes with the image of water springing forth from a hard rock, exactly as happened in the desert long after the splitting of the sea. That miracle stands in direct contrast to the splitting of the sea, in which running water became rigid as a stone. Bringing water forth from a stone is the opposite of running water turning into a stone. These are symmetric symbols of Hashem's ability to reverse nature in either direction. Let's move on to literary allusion and look at the first pasuk again. The pshat, and the most straightforward translation, is when Israel left Egypt, when the house of Jacob, another name for the people of Israel, left a nation which spoke a foreign tongue. Radak suggests that there's a nuanced difference between the two. There were some Israelites who over time had mingled so much with the Egyptians that they had become comfortable with their language. They left Mitzrayim, Egypt, while others had remained isolated and culturally cocooned in Goshen. And for them, it was as if they were leaving a still foreign nation. Take this interpretation of Radak, together with a very striking allusion in this pasuk, to God's mandate to Moshe at Sinai. Ko tomar lebeit Yaakov v'tageid livnei Yisrael. So shall you tell the house of Jacob, as we have in this perek, and speak to the children of Israel, as we have in that first pasuk as well. There probably is not a more famous midrash on that pasuk than the one that explains to us that there were two transmissions of Torah. One to Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, meaning the men, and the other to Beit Yaakov, the house of Jacob, referring to the women. I wonder if we can take the Radak one step further and suggest that it was specifically the women who, our sages tell us, made the redemption possible by keeping their families isolated in Goshen, where they spoke Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue. Maybe it is these women whom David HaMelech is subtly praising here for having left a land whose language remained alien to them even after hundreds of years. Am Loez, it remained a foreign country. While the men who were forcibly exposed to Egyptian culture and language because they worked in the pyramid complexes, they left Egypt, a land which in some ways had become native to them. And let's not forget the double entendre. Look at Pasuk Bet, verse 2. The pshat is, Haitat Yehuda lekadsho, Judah, yet another name for Israel, as in Judaism and Judaica, Judah became his, God's, sanctified one. Israel became his dominion. But Rashi and Malbim make similar comments and offer a second layer of interpretation. Haita, it came to pass, Yehuda lekadsho, that the tribe of Yehuda, whose prince Nachshon ben Aminadav displayed breathtaking faith by jumping into the sea first, caused Hashem to sanctify the nation as his own. Haita, and it came to pass, Yisrael mamshalotav, that the people of Israel, that Israel, who followed Nachshon and the tribe of Yehuda in jumping in, they caused Hashem to perform miracles which showed his dominion over all of nature. Mamshalotav. Now, let's turn to some noteworthy aspects of the content of this perek. First, a basic observation. The natural wonders described in this perek may all be descriptions of how the world in its entirety reacted to the exodus from Egypt. All of the lands trembled. All waters halted their natural patterns. But it is possible also that the perek offers a broader understanding of a process of exodus and redemption, which happened over a longer period of time, and includes images of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus itself, Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, the rock, the Tzur, or the Sela, which provided water in the desert, and even the receding of the Yarden, of the Jordan River, when the people of Israel crossed into the land of Israel at the time of Yehoshua. Another look into the content takes us back to Psukim Hey and Vav, 5 and 6. As we mentioned, there is a switch here from the past tense and a description of what happened during the Exodus, Matan Torah, to the present tense, where David HaMelech reacts to those events by confronting the sea and the Jordan and the hills and the mountains to find out why their behavior is so out of character. Dr. Benny Gesundheit, who is a well-known contemporary Tanakh educator, and his approach to Sefer Tehillim as a unified Sefer with a logical order and a beginning, a middle, and an end is both fascinating and compelling. Dr. Gesundheit has a beautiful insight about this switch in tenses. Here he suggests we see the requirement of Leil HaSeder coming to life. Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu yatzam mi-Mitzrayim. Every person must see himself as if he experienced the exodus from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. As David HaMelech reviews and reflects upon the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he begins to feel as if he is there, as if it is happening to him and now. So he turns to nature for an explanation, and he hears them responding, "My trembling," that is the earth speaking, "is because I am in the presence of the Master. My tremor is because I stand before the God of Yaakov." Which brings us to the most unusual phenomenon of this perek. It is the only one of the six chapters of Halel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Halel, in which there is not a single word meaning praise or thanksgiving. In fact, it is the only one which does not once contain the ineffable, awe-inspiring Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name of the big God. In the first perek, we affirmed our belief in Hashem as an involved God, and we praised him for the goodness he bestows. In the subsequent prakim, we will praise and thank him for the redemption. But in this perek, David HaMelech presents us with beautiful imagery and shows how the redemption was felt throughout the natural world. He hopes through that imagery to stir us to feel it as well. Most strikingly, in place of Halleluka or Hodu Lashem, classic Hallel phrases, Halleluka meaning praise God and Hodu Lashem meaning thank God, he begins with us, B'tzei Israel mi-Mitzrayim, when Israel left Egypt, focusing first on the Jewish people who through their trust in Hashem played a part in bringing about that redemption, which explains why finally, towards the end of the perek, there is a single reference to Hashem, not as the big God, not as the judgmental God, but as Eloka Yaakov, the personal God of Jacob. Like, wow. Next time, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will move back into the chapters of praise and the prayers that we offer when we are concerned that we might not measure up to the ancestors who are alluded to in today's perek. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.